passing away, but the word of God will stand forever. And those who choose meekness now will often be persecuted, rejected, mocked, made fun of, you know, all this kind of stuff to say you're wasting your life. You know, why are you doing that? You only have one life to live. And we know, like, he's coming back. I'm living forever. I can live now so that I can, you know, it looks like I'm really happy now when I'm actually not. And then I die and it's all gone forever. Or I can live now in such a way that my most blessed circumstances will be when he comes and will last forever. Meekness is one of those things where we are living according to God's value system. And Jesus, this is a big deal. When he says, guys, blessed are the meek. You ever take a test in school? You have a big exam coming, big final exam. And the day before the exam, you know, you're going to probably study all night long for this exam. And out of all the material you covered, you know, the day before, your teacher's trying to help you do good. And they're like, the teacher's like, hey, this section of all the material we covered, make sure you know this section well. Because the teacher knows, you know, like 70% of the stuff on the exam is from this one section. Right? And they're trying to give you hints. They're like, do this. And Jesus is like, he knows that every one of us are going to stand before him as a judge and give an account to him for how we lived our lives. And the one, he wants us to receive our full reward. So he's like, guys, pay attention to meekness. Make sure that you get the meekness thing. Blessed are the meek. They're going to inherit the earth. It's a really, really big deal. So what is meekness? Meekness, I'll just give you my definition. In other words, in my own words. To walk in meekness is to lay myself down. It's to empty myself of selfish ambition. To deny myself in order to glorify God and serve people in his name for his glory. Now, the most natural instinct of every human being, it's part of the human nature ever since the fall. It's this survivalist, it's to survive. Ever since the fall, it's like this survival thing. Everybody, it's self-preservation. It's to look out for yourself. It's selfish ambition. That's the most natural thing to every single person. But the person who walks in meekness is a person who walks in great strength. But what they do is they take their strength. You know, every one of us has strength that God has given us. You have gifts, you have talents, you have certain resources. It's different for everybody. You have resources, you have a measure of influence. It's different for different people. You know, you have all kinds of strength that the Lord has blessed you with. And here's the deal. The meek person, a lot of times there is a connotation in our culture when you say, you look at somebody and you say, man, that person is meek. Oftentimes, there's this connotation that people have in their minds that they think, oh, that person's a pushover. They think, oh, that person, but meekness is not wimpiness. And you're going to see, actually, it's the opposite. The person who walks in meekness has tremendous strength. It's not wimpiness at all. They're not pushovers. In Montana, on a documentary I saw, there's wild horses in Montana. How many of you like wild horses? I do. I just think they're beautiful. I love to just watch them. They're just like strong and the flowing mane. They're just powerful. I love them. But you know what? That horse, the wild horse, is super powerful, but all of its power, it's thinking about itself. It is going to use its strength and power to get what it wants. You get, and it's dangerous to people. You get too close to that thing and it decides it doesn't like you. Like, it could hurt you really bad, even kill you, right? And it's not useful to anyone. It's not useful to anyone because it has all that strength and majestic power and the speed, but it uses it all for its own ambition. But what happens is when a person takes that wild horse and they train it, and they take it through a training process, and eventually it gets to the point where the horse is just as strong as it's always been. But now it uses its strength to do the will of its master. And so you have these war horses. Horses that are trained for battle. and it's Masters writing it, and the bombs are exploding, and the gunfire's going off everywhere, and it's loud, and it's scary, and the instinct of the horse, as well as every person, right, our survival selfish instinct is to run the opposite direction of where the gunfire and the bombs are exploding, right? This is common sense, isn't it? And the horse is the same way, but you know what it'd do? Even though it wants to run the opposite direction, when its master gives it the command, whatever, to charge into battle, it denies itself and it uses all of its great strength and power to do its master's will and charge straight in there, even at the risk of good chance it could get shot or die or get wounded in some way. And you know what term they use? When a horse is fully trained and it's fully broken, now it's useful to its master. It's just as strong as it's ever been. It's not wimpy, but its strength is harnessed. Its strength is restrained, and it's focused on doing its master's will. And the term they use when a horse gets to that point, when it's fully trained, they call it meek. When Jesus says, blessed are the meek, that's the picture. Meekness is not wimpiness. I mean, you're strong in the Lord. You're courageous. You're bold. But it's like I don't use any of my strength to promote myself, to try and defend myself, vindicate myself, you know, exalt myself, get my own selfish gain for selfish ambition. Instead, I take all my strength and I harness it, I restrain it, and I aim it to do the will of the Lord and to bless people, to serve people in his name for his glory. Are you getting this? Does this make sense? This is what meekness is. And Jesus is like, blessed are the meek. They will inherit the earth. That's the number one thing Jesus is looking for to appoint in leadership positions. And let me give you some examples of meekness. And I could preach so many. There's so much in the Bible on this topic of different ways that meekness is expressed in different ways in life. Could do series on this because there's so much content in the Bible about it. I'll tell you another cool missionary story. Another group of these evangelists, it's a different group, they had this village on their heart. They wanted to go and preach the gospel to this village, unreached village, never heard the name of Jesus before. But this particular village was not welcome to outsiders. They didn't want outsider ideas and culture and values coming and messing up their way of life. So they were kind of like, they told these evangelists, they're like, you're not welcome in our village. Like, don't come here. They told all the people in the village, the elders did. They're like, do not feed them. Do not let them buy anything. They're not allowed in this village. And they told the missionary team, they said, you got to go sleep in the forest, which was outside the village. And they told the missionaries, they said, here's the thing. Nobody has ever spent the night in the forest and lived. Like, because what they knew, the villagers, is that particular forest was just infested with like mountain lions, just infested. So nobody spends the night out there. You know what I mean? And he says, but you guys got to stay out there. You're not allowed to come into the village. But here's the boldness, okay? Here's the boldness. The missionaries, they're like, our God that we're proclaiming to you made the mountain lions. We will go spend the night in the forest. And as they're going out into the forest, they're shouting out loud so that the elders and the villagers heard them. They're like, we take authority in Jesus' name over the spirit of death that's reigning in these mountains. And over, we just declare, the God who made the mountain lions will make them submit to the Lord and we will not be harmed. You know, they're just making these bold declarations. And then they go, the night passes, and the next morning they wake up and they come into the village. They're completely safe. And when the elders of the village see them, they're like, you lived. Because they heard him making these bold declarations. And the meekness isn't wimpiness. They were making bold declarations. And now the elders are like, okay, we want to hear about what you have to say. You're welcome to come now. And how many got saved? 6,000 something? 6,920 people got saved because of that. Now, meekness is not wimpiness, amen? It's courageous. It's bold. The ultimate example of meekness is Jesus. So, he's fully God. He's the Genesis one God who has such power that he just says, let there be light, and it was so. He created the heavens and the earth. And yet, at a point in time, he humbled himself and became obedient to his Father's will in order to serve people who were in rebellion against him. He became a human being forever. And he came to the earth that he himself created, and he became a human being forever. And he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil. And the Bible says that he was anointed by the Holy Spirit without measure. Like, he could do all kinds of stuff. And he knew from the Father that his ultimate destiny was he was going to rule the nations as king and restore all things that had been lost in the fall. But God's pathway, the Father's pathway to ruling the nations, went through a cross first. And he had opportunity at all this power. He had several opportunities. The devil came to him in the wilderness and said, hey, I'm the prince of the power of the air. He says, showed him the kingdoms of the earth, said, all this I'll give you. All you got to do is compromise and worship me. All you got to do is bow down and worship me. And what he was doing is he was giving Jesus, he says, hey, if what you really want is just, you know, I've dealt with lots of these guys before who just want to be really powerful and have positions of authority. There's lots of them, right? He's like, hey, I'll give that to you and you, a shortcut. I'll give you that and you don't even have to go through the cross if you'll just worship me. And Jesus is like, no, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Why? It's not like Jesus had this complex where he's like, someday I'm going to make it. Mom, Dad, look at me. I became the king of the nations. I'm awesome now. It's like he didn't have this complex where he's like, finally I achieved and I'm powerful. He's like, he was so powerful already. Honestly, he's God of the universe. He's all powerful already. He didn't have this thing where he's just trying to get this powerful position. The reason he took the position is because there was no human being in all the earth who was worthy to rule, because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All were corrupted. All were defiled by sin and under the influence of demonic spirits. And whatever power is given to them, they ultimately, the devil manipulates them through selfish ambition, and they end up using it for selfish gain and to hurt people. And there was no one who was worthy, and God's plans for people and his kingdom on the earth were contingent upon a human being who was righteous, who would not submit to the devil, but would be meek and submit only to his master, the Father, and do only the Father's will. Later on, Jesus is doing these miracles, and people want to make him king, and he's like, no, I got to go to the cross first. And then Jesus, he's in the Garden of Gethsemane. His ultimate prayer of weakness, of meekness. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he's human. And he's not exactly excited about going to the cross in a few hours. And he's praying, Father, he's like, if it is possible, take this cup from me. I mean, he's already feeling the mental and the emotional, the spiritual strain and the weight bearing down on him of going to the cross, not only the physical pain and the mocking, but literally the weight of the sin on the world, crushing him on the cross. And he's already feeling that. And he's, God, Father, if there's any other way, take this cup from me. But the prayer of man of meekness finishes the prayer with, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And then he's in the garden and the soldiers show up to arrest him, right? And Peter, one of his disciples, takes out his sword. You're not arresting Jesus. Goes to cut off the soldier's head, misses, cuts off his ear instead. And Jesus is like, stop, Peter. He stopped his disciples. He's like, stop. And then he makes a statement. He says, do you not know? I could call 12 legions of angels right now and they would come and I'm out of here. I'm not going to the cross because I have no other option. I am choosing to submit myself to the cross because it's the Father's will, and to do it to serve the people and bless them in his name. Meekness. You read that story in the Old Testament. I mean, imagine Jesus called those legions of angels. He could have got out there so fast and slaughtered so many people on the way out. No problem. I mean, you think that story in the Old Testament when Assyrian army was attacking and surrounding Israel, and God sent one angel, one death angel, went through the Assyrian camp and killed 185,000 Assyrian soldiers in one night. They were corpses in the morning. One angel did that. Jesus is like, I could call legions of those guys and get out of here. I don't have to go to the cross, but it's my Father's will, and I'm doing it for love because I love the people. There's no other way to redeem them. And then he stands before Pontius Pilate, a human authority, the Roman government, who had a lot of authority and a lot of clout and thought he was all that. And Jesus is standing before Pilate, and he's all kinds of false accusations have been made against him that are just bogus and ridiculous, easily refuted. It was a complete mockery of justice, his trial. And he's standing before Pilate, falsely accused, and he refused to speak up and defend himself. Because he knew, it's the will of the Father that I go through this for his glory and for your sake, even for Pilate's sake, to go to that cross. And he's on the cross. He's hanging there. And the ones he's dying for are hurling insults at him and mocking him. Even things like accusing him of like being weak. If you're really the Son of God, then get yourself off the cross. You can't even do that. Just in my little carnal fleshly part of my mind, I would probably be like, oh my goodness, you have no idea. Probably be like, Father, just I'll go through with it, but let me just release one little ray of lightning to destroy one of them, just to show them, quit calling me weak. I'm not. Anyway, that's carnal. Sanctification is happening in me. So, but he's not. You know what he says? He says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He had the power to do it. They're like, hey, if you really get yourself off the cross, he's like, oh, I could get myself off this cross, I promise you. But you know what? He's like, I don't live to prove myself to you. Meek, I harness all that power. I restrain it to do the will of my Father and to serve you. Blessed are the meek. They will inherit the earth. God is looking for the meek to bestow his authority upon. Why? Because that's the heart that he can entrust with authority. So, I'm going to wrap up and conclude here with this. You've heard this saying, right? Power corrupts, absolute power corrupts absolutely. And that's largely true because of the sinful, selfish nature of human beings, right? You give them a little bit of authority, and ultimately, they usually end up using it for their own gain, for their own glory, and then to defend their position of honor and stay there as long as possible, right? He says, that's why the earth is so screwed up. It's because of that sinfulness. He says, that's not the kind of leader I'm looking for. That's why I'm looking for a meek leader, one who will use whatever measure of strength I give them, not for their own glory and ambition, but to do my will first and to serve people in my name second. That's the person I can entrust with great authority. So how does God the Father respond to Jesus? Dying on the cross, the all-time greatest act of meekness in history, God responds by giving him the greatest promotion in all of history. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. I'm going to end with this scripture. Philippians chapter 2. going to start in verse 5. God says to the disciples of Jesus, Jesus is our role model, he's our Lord, he's our example, we want to be like him, amen? And that's why he says in verse 5, hey guys, you who follow Jesus, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Okay, well, what's that? You ready? He describes it. Who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing. What about that phrase? Taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, everybody say therefore. Okay? So this is how God responds to the greatest meekness of all time. God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Jesus says, guys, I cut the path for you. I showed you how to live according to heaven's value system. Walk in meekness. And he says, you should have if you're a follower of me, you're my disciple, you should have the same attitude of meekness that I walked in and that I modeled for you. Why? Because God wants to entrust his authority to you. Some in this age, you know what he gives us authority in this age for? There's many answers to that question, but one of the things he gives it for is to test us and see how we respond to it. Because it is in his heart to give us a ton more in the age to come. He gives us a little differing measures, but a little bit in this age. And will we use it for our own gain, for selfish ambition, or do we use it to do the Father's will and to serve people in his name? And if we do, then he entrusts us with more. Meekness, 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 meekness. Amen. You can go ahead and stand.